Okay, now let's go on the programme to Peru. Well, let's at least make a phone call to Peru because of the young Irish entrepreneur called Will Whelan, who changed the face of travel in Peru when he and his friend set up a thing called Peru Hop. Now, backpacking around the world, that's what he was doing. He spotted a huge gap in the market. He persuaded his friend Conor McAteer to join him in South America and start a business. Now, let's take a look at this business. It's Peru Hop. So between the two of them, they started from nothing and they now have a hugely successful tourism company that's expanded into other countries and continues to grow. And Will is on the line now in the Peruvian capital of Lima. Will, how are you doing? Are you all right? Hello, Will, can you hear me?
Hello, hey, can you hear me?
Good man, yes, I can hear you perfectly, good man. Will, first of all, what is Peru Hop?
So basically, Peru Hop is like a hop-on, hop-off bus across the whole country of Peru. So, you know, like in Dublin, you have the open-top buses that you can get on and off as many times as you like. Basically, we do the same thing, except we cover the whole country instead of just one city, you know?
And, like, it was just, like, how did you sort of not even come up with the idea? How did you set that up?
Yeah, so basically I moved here to Peru about 2.5 years ago, and basically I moved here to be with my Peruvian girlfriend who I'd met when I traveled the world, and then basically I'd taken a hop-on hop-off bus in New Zealand called Kiwi Experience, loved it, and when I moved to Peru then I was looking for ideas to do. Tourism here in Peru is really growing. Peru used to be a very unsafe country maybe 15-20 years ago, but it's starting to change its reputation. It's really growing fast. But if you ask a tourist what is the problem in Peru, it's the fact of getting around. You know, trying to take taxis, public buses, you know, without speaking the language, because of course they speak Spanish here. It's very, very annoying. And apart from that, sometimes people who come as a tourist, like myself, I was here once as a tourist, you don't get to see the real Peru. You know, you're just going from bus terminal to bus terminal or bus station to bus station. You don't get to see any of the places along the way. Whereas with our bus, we can stop at places along the way. So the idea was that we could help people get around Peru easily by maybe picking them up in their hotels or the hostels from the door. So that means they don't need to take any taxis or go to any bus stations. And then we can also bring them along the way with a guide who can explain to them about the Peruvian culture, the Peruvian history, the Peruvian food, and really show them the real Peru, you know? So that was where we basically got the idea from, but setting it up involved a few headaches along the way, you know?
And is the language Spanish? And if so, can you speak it?
I can, with an Irish accent, mostly said, but I can speak a bit of Spanish now. My staff will say I can't, but I believe I can, you know?
Your staff? Just a matter of interest, how many buses do you have?
We've got about 6 buses, and we have a team now of around 30 people working for us now.
And those who are working for you, one of the things they'd be doing is to be kind of tour guidey and tell you where you can go or if you are getting off here. I presume, like, for instance, you go to the famous, from Lima, where you are now, to the Cusco place where Machu Picchu is.
Exactly, yeah. So basically, Peru is famous for Machu Picchu. But the Peruvian government, the tourism boards, they're really trying to promote the rest of Peru because Peru in general is a beautiful country. And it's there's so many different places apart from Machu Picchu. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to convince people who come to Peru, who come to Lima, like you said, instead of taking a direct bus to Machu Picchu or to flying to Machu Picchu, why not come with us and see a lot of other places along the way? So like I said, get to know the real Peru, the real culture, and that's what our guides do. You know, the guides will kind of teach you about the different places to see, the different types of food here in Peru. Like Peruvian cuisine is becoming really famous, to be honest. And they'll also teach you then about how life was growing up as a Peruvian in Peru, you know.
Well, listen, speaking of growing up and how life was, where did you grow up and how was life? What were you doing here? In Dublin, that is, or Ireland.
So, I'm a Dub, yeah, as you can probably guess from the accent. I'm from a place called Ballyogan in around Leopardstown.
Know it well.
Yeah.
I tell you, it's a terrible thing to say. Do you know something Ballyogan's famous for, Simon? It's a dump.
Everyone says that, you know. It's good that the reputation sticks, you know.
No, it's a lovely place.
Yeah, so that's probably the most famous thing Ballyogan is famous for, you know. Grew up there, went to UCD, did commerce in UCD, and then basically went from there to be an accountant in PwC, and that's kind of when I began travelling the world once I finished my accountancy stuff, you know.
Hold on, so once you finish your accountancy stuff, what a lot of people do is they then go on to try and get a gig. gig in accountancy. Did you say, to hell with this, I'm going to travel the world, I'm going to take at least a year?
Yeah, I was too young to get stuck in working every day, you know. So I travelled the world. I ended up spending about 18 months, and then landed in Australia. But basically, this girl in Peru stayed in contact with me through Skype and all those means we have today, and she eventually persuaded me to move over here about 2 years ago now, you know.
Okay, one of the things also, you needed somebody else too who'd be solidly standing beside you in terms of starting a business, because you didn't know much about that. So you got in touch with your friend Connor McAtee. He had also left the world of finance to travel the world. So did you have to try and convince him, come on, Peru's the place to be?
Yeah, so Connor, luckily for me, Connor was in the middle of a round-the-world trip, and he was over in New Zealand, and he'd been emailing me for some tips about South America, you know, where to go and see, because I'd obviously been here before. And I said to him, look, you know, I'm living in Peru now. I've got this great idea for a business. I really think it could be big. What do you think? And kind of he was like, oh, look, Will, you know, I was planning on traveling the world, blah, blah, blah. I said, come on, look, come over here for a year. If it doesn't work, what's the worst that can happen? You know, you'll lose a year. Your life, you'll speak Spanish, you know what I mean? It's the minimum you have. So he came over, and I haven't let him leave since, you know.
Okay, just as a matter of interest, like in terms of having to get something off the ground that you really didn't know too much about, and you had to do, I'd say, a little bit of spoofing. Basically, did you lie at all to say, listen, we have investors from Europe, you know, please all sit down here?
Yeah, well, I wouldn't say it's lying. I'd say it's maybe a bit of Irish charm, you know. So basically, a few white lies were told. Yeah, we basically, you know, they couldn't believe that we were 28, 29 at the time. They didn't think we'd have much money. They were probably right. So we kind of just said we were the face of the company, and we had a multimillionaires behind us in Europe. We were just the face of the company here in Peru. A few white lies, but they fell for it. So happily, we're here today.
And
you know?
I presume, like, you know, by the way, how much does a bus cost?
To buy a bus will cost around $300,000. So what we did, we obviously wouldn't have that money. So we agreed a deal to rent the buses. So and we worked out good, favorable kind of payment terms. So what we did was we allowed ourselves to try sell tickets first and pay for the bus later, you know, because there's no chance, and no way we would have been able to buy buses, you know.
Okay.
No chance.
And I presume the wheels on the bus go round and round, but how many seats are there on the bus?
Right now there's 40 seats on every bus, you know.
So therefore you've got you've got hundreds then. You've got seats for hundreds of people, yeah?
Yeah, we look at probably annually now we're moving around 12, 13,000 people across Peru and Bolivia with Bolivia Hop now, you know.
Right, exactly. And also you had to face, I presume, a few problems with Peruvian drivers. And because you know, if you look at the Peruvian rates of road fatalities, they're pretty high.
Yeah, it's incredible, and that was our biggest worry, to be honest, you know. So when we were looking at bus companies to work for, we put in strict kind of terms into our contract with the bus company, in terms of that we, for example, when we go on longer journeys, we have to have at least two drivers who swap every 4 hours on the road, so that our drivers are never tired. You know, we drive at slower speeds than the public buses here, you know. We've basically trying to see all the problems that public buses have had, and we try to basically do the exact opposite, you know. And touch wood, we've been running buses for about 2 years, and like I said, we've probably transported around 20,000 people, and touch wood, we have yet to have an accident, you know, and long may that continue, to be honest.
And I presume it couldn't have been very successful from the word go. It must have been pretty hairy. I mean, like, is there a lot of red tape and stuff like that?
Yeah, I mean, it was difficult, to be honest. Trying to explain this hop-on, hop-off concept, which does not exist in South America, never mind Peru, was very, very difficult. And I suppose, you know, for the first 6 months, we were nearly in tears, myself and Connor, you know. We thought we had a great idea, we thought we had a great business, but unfortunately we only had three people on the buses, you know. But slowly but surely, we kept giving those three people, the best service possible, and they were just recommending us. By word of mouth, you know.
That's fantastic. Wait a second. You start off this business, you get this bus. If you were to buy it, it would have cost $300,000. You rent a bus, there's about 40 or 50 seats on it or whatever, and there's two or three people over a period of, they must have thought they were getting royal treatment for a few weeks, did they?
Yeah, they really did, and you know, we the thing was, we were both a bit stubborn. Like, a lot of people were telling us, why don't you, like, reduce the size of the bus, why don't you reduce the frequency of the buses? But myself and Connor were like, no, this is the way it has to be. And we begged and bothered borrowed and did whatever we could to survive those first 6 months. But yeah, those two or three people, they really got a,
well, then,
got
like,
a nice
how did you get the whole thing going? Like, you'd have to have a marketing plan of some sort, and I presume social media helps, but do you go to the local Bord Fáilte and tell them what it is and put out flyers and things, or do you just tell people word of mouth?
Yeah, so we went to the local tourism board, like, and basically they didn't really help us, to be honest. What we had to do, myself and Connor were literally every hour of every day going around to all the local hotels, the hostels. You know, I was kind of going undercover as like as a backpacker. So I would go into one of the hostels and say, "Hey, oh, have you seen this Peru Hop? I heard it's amazing, blah, blah, blah."
Yeah.
You know, to try tell this guy you should go. And then when he gets on the bus, "Oh, what are you doing here?" He's actually one of the owners, you know. So yeah, I had to tell a few white lies again. But at the end of the trip, when they had a great week, they were happy that I managed to convince them to go, you know.
All right, well, listen, as you say, you now have a staff of about 30, a good nearly 100% will be local Peruvians. Or you have a fleet of 6 buses, I think I can call it a fleet. It's all going very well. It's a few years down the line. So, finally then, well, what are the long-term plans?
Yeah, so I suppose I'm here in Peru for the rest of my life. I love it here, and I suppose Connor's going to be here for a few more years anyway. He's quite happy. We hope that we can expand to more countries. You know, we're looking at maybe next year doing Colombia Hop, maybe Ecuador Hop. We'll see how it goes. But yeah, basically just to keep growing and keep promoting Peru, you know. And basically our philosophy is that if we can keep one person happy and give one person a great trip in Peru, they'll go home to their home country, maybe 10, 15, 20 people, that Peru's a safe place and it's a beautiful place. So we're really trying to promote Peru as a tourism destination, because if Peru grows, then we will grow too, you know.
Indeed. Well, listen, congratulations and well done. It's called Peru Hop, so if you're ever over there, check out Will Whelan. Will, it's been a real pleasure. Good man yourself, and let's hope it keeps going great.